Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay for them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had only gotten worse. And she heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out of him. So he turned around and said to the crowd, "Who touched my robe?" Verse 31, his disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your power that's here tonight, for all that you've done already and what you'll do now. Holy Spirit, come and manifest healing and the working of miracles. Release signs and wonders to follow the preaching of your word. And even as I preach, I pray that power would fall upon those that are sick and weak and hurting, and that you would heal them. Release your power tonight in Jesus' name. And we thank you and we'll give you all the praise. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I think I've told the story before. I had to be about 15 years old. It was during the summer. I was home from boarding school. And I went to turn on my light in my room. I had a nightstand. I had a light. I guess it was night. It wasn't morning. I don't recall. I just remember going to turn on my light and it didn't work. So I reached down for the cord. And the cord was plugged in, so I couldn't understand it. So I reached for the, trying to follow the hand, my hand all the way down the cord. And I come to the end, which had been stripped. Had two wires. He did it. My brother, right there. I guess he thought it'd be funny. I'm glad he never told me that he did it back then. Just recently, I think a year or so ago, 2 years maybe, he said, I did that. I'm like, nice. I remember getting shocked. I got shocked so hard that my feelings hurt. Does anybody know what that's like? Has anybody ever been electrocuted, you know, shocked like that? Like, yes, yeah. There's power here tonight. There's a crowd here tonight too, for which I'm grateful. I understand. understand that at every service we have, there is exactly like when Jesus hung on the cross, those who say, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then you have those that would say, well, if you be the Son of God. The same thing happens when we do public preaching. Same thing happens in services where you have one person that experiences God's power, God's fire, and then you have a crowd. And please, don't be a part of the crowd that doesn't get touched. You can be touched tonight by God's power and you can never be the same. I've been in services where I've seen incredible miracles. Services that I attended and services that I've led. Miracles are what happen when Jesus shows up and he's here. We know that theologically. We know that he's here. He's omnipresent. Tonight, God's power is here. And if you come in contact with that power, like I came in contact with those two stripped ends of a cord coming out of the wall that my brother stripped, something will happen. What will happen? Something of God, something of the power of God. There's power here tonight. I've got good news for you. It is not God's will to be sick any more than it is God's will for you to go to hell. It is God's will for you to be saved, to be forgiven, and the same power that forgave you of your sin is the same power that heals you. Healing and salvation are purchased for you in what's called the atonement. By his stripes, salvation as it played out, salvation, when I say salvation, I mean sozo. Healing, spirit, soul, and body took place, began to happen in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus prayed and blood, like drops of blood, sweat, came from him's body, the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from sin and heals us of all our diseases began to be shed. And you'll never hear me say spilled. He spilled his blood. You never hear me. You spill milk. He didn't spill anything. He purposely, intentionally shed his blood so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be healed. This woman comes. But before she does, there's this, I had us read it. This leader of the local synagogue, his name is Jairus, his daughter is dying. And later we find out, we didn't read the rest of it, but later we find out she died, you know, and he raises her from the dead. Your daughter is dead. Look at that verse 35. 36, there's no use troubling the teacher. You know, it's never too late. I don't understand everything. I just know that Jesus heals. And I don't understand why sometimes it's progressive and sometimes it's instantaneous. I just know that Jesus heals. I don't know why some people get healed here and other people have to get healed when they get to heaven. I just know that Jesus heals. It is a part of his character, is who he is. You see it in scripture. It's undeniable. Many people will make up a theological argument because they don't see the manifestation of healing here in this life. And so they say, well, then it can't be true. That's not true either. You see in scripture, and we know that in heaven, there's no disease, no infirmity. There's no death, no more weeping, no more tears. How many of you say hallelujah? I remember the story of Dr. James Morocco's father dying of a massive heart attack. And they went down to the hospital, and Dr. Morocco, who is our senior global pastor, says to his mom, should we go down and raise him from the dead? And Esther Morocco says to him, why would you do that? He's waited his whole life to go to heaven. And he thought, good point. If you read accounts of people being raised from the dead, there's many in Africa. I heard a story of an EMT who... EMT emergency, you know, what are they called? EMT medical guy. He's prayed for 65 dead people in his ambulance. He said, really? What happened? Five of them came back from the dead. One of the things you'll find in Africa, they say, as I began to tell you, when they brought people back from the dead, they're hopping mad. Why in God's name did you bring me back to the cesspool? They're so upset. And you can read about Smith Wigglesworth, and he brought his wife back, I think twice, if I remember correctly. She was upset. She said, "Let me go. Quit bringing me back from the dead." This man's miracle is interrupted by this woman who comes. And this woman, we learn a lot from. I've preached from this text many times before. She's ceremonially unclean. If you study the book of Leviticus and you study Levitical law, and her condition would make her unclean. She was not able to be in public, nor could she go to the temple. She couldn't be in public. And it was a way of God protecting people from getting diseases. It was a unique way of keeping God's people safe. And so there's all kinds of laws and regulations. And she was violating a regulation. She was violating Levitical law that very well could have gotten her killed. She was breaking that. There was a higher law at work. And she believed. Now, she had spent all her money for 12 years. For 12 years, she bled. And we don't know exactly what kind of bleeding or hemorrhaging, but she only grew worse. 12 years, she only grew worse. She spent everything she had on the modern medicine of the day to get healed, and it only got worse. And she thought, she heard that Jesus was coming by, and I love that. Woman in the crowd suffered 12 years. Verse 26, spent all she had, only got worse. Verse 27, look at verse 27. She heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. In my ramblings here, they're on purpose. Shared a brief few testimonies, trying to build your faith, trying to tell you about a God who heals. He heals, he saves, he delivers, he provides. You see it through scripture, and it might be in your experience that you've never seen a miracle, but I'm gonna tell you, you can see a miracle tonight if you'll do what she did. There's miracle power available for you and me. When she heard about Jesus, someone witnessed to her. How many of you remember the first time you heard about Jesus? I remember the first time I heard about him, but I remember specifically the first time I heard that he healed. I needed deliverance myself, so it was really good news. The gospel means good news. You know what good news is to a sick person? Being healed, being made whole. You know what good news is to an addict? You don't have to be addicted anymore. You know what good news is to a depressed person? You don't have to be depressed anymore. You know what good news is to a poor person? You don't have to be po' no mo'. And I love how the Lord heals us from the inside out. Some of you think that money will solve your problem. No, the problem's inside your head. Need to learn to think differently and get rid of a poverty spirit. If you have someone who has a poverty spirit, you dump money on them, they destroy themselves. Money is not your problem. Your problem is in your head. Your problem is in your thinking. Your problem is with sin. So oftentimes I've found the Lord wants me to learn biblical principles and live according to them instead of praying for a miracle all the time. Learn to live biblical principles and you walk in the blessed life. She believed that if she could only touch the hem of his garment, if she could touch the hem of his garment, something would happen. Lots of people in the crowd crowding him. The disciples are like, after she receives her miracle, Jesus wants to know who touched her. And they're like, what are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. Well, not the way that she did. Not the way that she did. The touch of his power. The moment she touched Jesus, power went out from him. A healing touch, touch of his power is a touch of faith. Faith, confident assurance of what you cannot see. The reason Jesus looked for the person who touched him was she wanted to teach his disciples. And I can't help but think that the Lord also knew that we'd be standing here on January 21st, 2024, knowing that we would need to be encouraged to say that if we would position our heart like the woman with the issue of blood, we could touch him by faith and power could be released. Lift your hands to heaven. I break doubt tonight. Unbelief, rationale, and logic. You're bigger than all of that. Release your power now, I pray. Release your power, God, all across this place, in Florida, in Oklahoma, in Idaho. Release your power. In Oahu, in the Hawaiian Islands, release your power in the Philippines. Like the woman with the issue of blood. I think he made special note of her, not only to teach the disciples, but I think also to teach us. But he also wanted to confirm her healing. A number of months ago, we had a precious lady, you might even be here, you came and you had a deaf ear. And she went to the doctor, and I keep this here, and I've got little memorials. She came to the front, was standing about in this area. We prayed for her. Nothing that we could tell happened. And when I moved on, she said, "Wait, something's happening." So I stuck my finger in my inner ear. "Why'd you do that?" "I don't know. I saw some other anointed healing evangelist stick his finger in someone's ear, so I figured I'd go for it." I didn't lick my finger and give her a wet willy or anything. I just went ahead and stuck my finger to her. I think she was shocked. I was full of faith. I prayed, and her ear opened. She went to the doctor, and it says this: no more hole in the eardrum. Come on, isn't that beautiful? And I don't know how long she had it. You should keep memorials like this. You should gather things. That's why in those tents and those different places with healing outpourings of the Spirit of God, they would take crutches and put them on the wall. Maybe we should do that. We've had blind eyes open right here. We've had deaf ears unstopped right here. Cancer healed right here. I want your faith to just ratchet up a little bit. God can do it for you tonight. He is the same. He still raises the dead, heals the sick. He still takes away the issue of blood. He confirmed her healing. The power emanating from Jesus is the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to say that. The power emanating from Jesus is the power of the Holy Spirit. More than electricity. More than, and it's bigger than any military power. The creative power. Bigger than the power of creation, the power of our Creator, divine power. He spoke and planets spun off. He spoke and there's stars. He took the anvil of time and the hem of creation and struck it and the stars sparked everywhere, and he knows every single one by name. Everyone. Scientists say that there's stars that are gone. They've gone out. They just don't know where they are. He's an awesome God. The power that comes from Jesus to heal in the New Testament and even here tonight, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Luke 5, if you would. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 5. And I'd encourage you to go through the scriptures. Read healing scriptures for those of you that are struggling in your faith or you just want an increase in faith for healing. Memorize healing scriptures. Speak them over people when you pray. Speak them over yourselves. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Luke 5 and verse 17, if you're all there, say amen. One day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. New Living Translation. The NIV says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. How many of you sense His power right now? It's not an average service. God's power is in every one of our services, no doubt about it. Where two or three are gathered, there He is in our midst, so we know that. Whether you can feel Him tonight or not, it's still true. He's here. He's here, and He's here in power to heal you, to set you free, to bring about your breakthrough tonight. As many of you have been fasting and praying for breakthrough. Luke chapter 6. Find that. Verse 18. They came to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. And those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Verse 19, everyone tried to touch Him because healing power went out of Him and He healed everyone. Healing power went out of Him and He healed everyone. Jesus is the healer. You will never find a place where He didn't heal. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. Don't set a stronghold. Don't get a mindset because you've not been healed yet, because your miracle's not been received yet, that it doesn't exist. You continue to contend. And the fact is, I've been waiting for some miracles for 20 plus years. I don't understand all of that. I continue to examine my faith and see what I could do differently. I'm believing for miracles tonight. I'm believing for a miracle of restoration. Some of you believing for a miracle of restoration, miracle of healing and deliverance or provision. Don't ever stop believing. What are you going to do? Quit? Where are you going to go? He's the one as the words of eternal life. I trust His leadership. I trust His timing. He's always on time. Doesn't feel like it's always on time. But He is an on-time God. I don't know why He walked past the man who's brought daily to the gate called Beautiful, 38 years old, I believe he is, daily brought there. Jesus went by him many, many times. I think it's safe to assume that. Jesus going into the temple, the gate called Beautiful, the Horaeus gate. I'm sure he wished he was healed by Jesus. I'm sure he's like, well, why did the Lord heal me? And then on the hour of prayer, in the book of Acts, Peter and John at the hour of prayer go. They see the man who's there brought daily, lame. And they say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they grab him and they yank him. I love the boldness of faith. They yank him up and his feet and his ankles are made strong and he begins to leap and jump and praise God and he goes into the temple for the first time in his life. I mean, none of us here can imagine what that was like. The temple was magnificent and beautiful and he's instantly healed and he goes into the temple. Why didn't Jesus heal him before that? I don't know exactly, but I think there's some clues at the gate called Beautiful and what takes place. The Horaeus gate. Gate called Beautiful, that comes from Horaeus is a word for time. It's the right time gate. That's what that means. In other words, when it's the right time, bam, it's beautiful. That's what that means. And he goes in and 5,000 people come to Christ. Pretty amazing miracle. They're persecuted for it. Jesus does miracles. He did a miracle for this precious lady. And he's going to do a miracle for you tonight. He's a healer. He's a miracle worker. The touching of Jesus was the crowd's focus. They wanted to touch him. But it's a different kind of touch. Preached a message. In fact, originally heard it from Dr. Morocco called the second touch. The different kind of touch, this woman with the issue of blood, than those that are rubbing up against him and this woman that pressed through. And she's like, there was something different about her reaching and touching and those just bumping up against him, hoping they could get something from him. Very different. The Apostle Paul understood the relationship between power and the Holy Spirit. You see that in the epistles and his letters. How do we touch Jesus? Let me say it this way. How do we touch the hem of his garment? How do we see the power of the Holy Spirit released? How does that happen? Realize he's here. That's the first thing. He's here. He's here by his Holy Spirit. The second thing is welcome the Holy Spirit through your worship. We've done that and we're going to do more. Welcome the Holy Spirit. Minister Micah, are you in the house? I want you to play that song for me, The Woman with the Issue of Blood. So it's so old, try to get it in your heart, unrehearsed here. There's something about pressing in. In 1995, we used to sing this song. Some of you will remember it. Because there's something about just pushing yourself away from the crowd. There's something about pushing yourself away and getting desperate. When you're desperate for God, God will do things in your life that will not happen any other way. If you've come in here with a ho-hum spirit, just be like, well, yeah, there's church. The Lord can touch me. Well, you're part of the crowd. You're not. That's not what she had. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Anticipate God doing something right now. Begin to shift your heart as we can bring this to conclusion and begin to flow in the Spirit. She didn't allow fear to prevent her from her condition. She could have been scared away. What are they going to do if they catch me? I'm bleeding. What if I get caught? None of those things made, she was through. She was through with doctors. She had spent her money. She was at her end. You know, there's something about coming to the end of yourself. It's a great place to be. I don't like it, but I love what it does for me. I came to the end of myself in this building project along with many others. And one of the critical moments of breakthrough happened when it was so hopeless and we were ruined. I didn't even tell you all of it because if I told all you all of it, y'all would have freaked out. People have freaked out and just be like, that's it, we're leaving. It's crazy. We're part of a church that's sunk. No, we're a water walking church. So we shared things in prayer, but certain things I just held. And on one fateful night when the wind blew and ripped into the place, and we needed $13 million and we didn't have it, and our bond deal fell through, and we had no idea of how we were going to finish the building, and banks didn't want to touch us, and we had taken offerings and we had pressed, there was nothing. We had all doing our best, thinking, Lord, I'll sell my house and give it. He's like, you're not selling your house. I'm like, okay. I mean, great, that'd be great. But I could sell $300,000 maybe if I sold my house. Actually, maybe now it's four, I don't know. You're not selling your house. All this happens. It brought me to the end of myself. I was at the end and we were ruined. I knew if God didn't come, it was over. When you get to that place, when your hunger and your desperation is sincere, you don't care if you look like an idiot in front of someone as long as God touches you and heals you. You don't care what it looks like. You see someone running to the front, pulling a Pete Rose up at the altar, face first, grinding in on the carpet. Desperate, hungry, thirsty, Christianity is not cute. When you see someone who's desperate and hungry and thirsty, they make an on-fire person look like they're backslid. When you're hungry and thirsty, you don't care what it looks like. Have you ever seen someone who just needs to have water? You ever seen someone who's in the midst of an emergency? I mean, if there was an emergency right now, there's an emergency right here. I guarantee you, whoever's around that person would stand up and say, "We need help. We need help right here. Pastor, we need help." And we'd go over and we'd minister the power of the Holy Spirit. God would help them. I don't know. Maybe we'd have to call any doctors. I've been in an airline. I was on a plane that belonged to an airline. We're flying. It was my flight when I first moved up here. And I'm looking into first class. I'm just behind first class. And I see a man just keel out of the first class, dead into the aisle. I rush up there along with a number of other people. And they made an announcement. Are there any doctors on board? If there are doctors here, please make yourself known to the flight attendants. They had an anesthesiologist. They had a surgeon. They had a doctor. They had a nurse. And they had me. I'm praying in tongues. I'd love to tell you that the man came back from the dead. He didn't. He died. He was an older man. His wife looking on, smiling and praying the whole time. I did chest compressions for 45 minutes. They turned the plane around and they landed and they weren't able to save him. He had passed. We gave up about a half an hour out of our returning to our destination. And I went and ministered to the wife. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I said, "Did your husband know Jesus?" She says, "Yes, he did." I said, "So," and now when I'm talking to her, I'm look out at first class and I see all these people, husbands and wives holding each other. People are weeping. I said, "So he knew that Jesus died on a cross for sins?" She says, "Yes." And he had received, I said it out loud. And he made a decision for Christ. She says, "Yes, he's born again." I said, "Oh, he's born again. So he's in heaven." "Yes, he's in heaven." He says, "We're pastors." I said, "Oh, praise God." She said, "Praise the Lord." And I looked out and saw all these peeping people weeping across first class. There was an urgency when that man fell out. Some of you are in a place that's more precarious than you know. That if you don't get your miracle tonight, I'm trying to preach you hungry. I'm trying to get you to a place where you're like, "Man, I need help tonight. I need God to help me tonight, to help my kids, to help my marriage, to help my family. I need the Lord." Desperation, when sincere, doesn't mind looking like a fool in the face of the peers. As long as you're embraced in the arms of the Master and you receive healing and deliverance and you receive your miracle. God is not holding something back from you. He's not holding anything back from you. Many times we're not desperate. And again, he's God, so we don't understand everything. She didn't allow the crowd to prevent her. I remember someone saying to me, "Hey, I can't do that. I don't want to embarrass myself." Well, you just ain't hungry enough, I guess. Because when you're really hungry, you don't care. You just don't care. I want to encourage you in the moments that are just ahead. Push through the crowd. Crowd is also a picture of your mind, mental constructs, religious thinking. Unbelief, push through that. The same Jesus who raised Lazarus can raise you up tonight. The same Jesus who healed this precious lady can heal you. Push through the crowd of your mind. Most of the time we're so nonchalant. My daughter and my son-in-law have gone into ministry. They just became part of the staff of King's Cathedral Maui. And it's a dream for me. I prayed that. I don't even know what happened. I had nothing to do with it. It happened without my knowledge. They were pursued by Pastor Josh, and they're now on the staff of King's Cathedral Maui. It's a dream. I think back when she was born. She had heart failure and had all kinds of issues. You're in the neonatal intensive care unit. You know, you pray differently when you're in a situation like that, as some of you well know. Watching a procedure, which I've told over and over before, crying out for God's intervention, making a scene in front of 30 or 40 people in the waiting room, and people saying, you know, you need to calm down a little bit. I remember the nurse pulling me aside, brought me into a room and said, Mr. Bracken, you need to calm down. I said, I'll calm down when you do your job. She flatlined, and I'm the one that told them. For whatever reason, the alarm wasn't plugged in. It was years ago in Fred Flintstone's hospital back in the 1950s, it felt like. The hospital's definitely in the 50s. Would not advise you go there. Anyway, I'm not going to tell you which one it is. Most of the time, we're nonchalant. We just put up with troubles. Let me say this. Don't tolerate what Jesus came to set you free and heal you of. Don't tolerate what Jesus came to set you free and heal you of. Hannah didn't tolerate her. Hannah, not my daughter, but Hannah in Scripture, 1 Samuel, didn't tolerate her being barren. She allowed it to drive her. She was provoked, and it drove her to intercession. And she birthed forth, by a miracle of God, brought forth Samuel, one of the greatest Old Testament prophets. I think about Jacob at a place called Peniel, who got a name change. His name is changed to Prince or Israel, Jacob. The deceiver had done all kinds of things to try to manipulate and make his way, but nothing would work. His brother's basically coming to kill him. He sends his wives and his family on with gifts towards his brother. And he cries out, he wrestles with God. He wrestles with God, and he's touched in the hip and walked differently from that day. It's a picture that if you're desperate and you're hungry, God will touch you. You will walk differently.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.